1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. We know that you are in heaven. Your Son Jesus is seated beside you on the throne, and your Holy Spirit dwells here in the hearts of your people. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would have your way in us today. Lord, I ask for your words to be spoken, to be declared today. Lord, please teach us what it means to wage good warfare. Teach us how to walk in everything you've called us to walk in. Ooh. Lord, I just pray that your word would just be declared in this place, that we would draw near to you, and by faith we believe that you're going to draw near to us. Father, I pray for soft hearts right now in this place. God, I believe in healing. I believe in deliverance. I believe in salvation. I believe it because you said it in your word. I know we can trust in your word. I know this scripture is breathed by you. And so I just believe today people are going to get healed, set free, delivered, and saved in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Wage good warfare. I was sitting recently with Pastor Andrew and Pastor Steph, and we were just talking about Christmas Eve. And we'd really been against doing two services for a long time. But my goodness, you people just keep inviting people and we don't have room. We got to do two services. But praise the Lord, you're waging good warfare. You are. You are. You're waging good warfare because you see what he's doing in you, and you're saying in your mind, you know, there's something happening in me and somehow I have to get this to the people. What are you doing? You're waging good warfare. You're bringing people, just like that passage that Pastor Steph shared today, you're bringing people, you're inviting people in from the outside into the light, from the darkness into the light. What are we doing at Christmas Eve? We're just inviting people in to hear about Jesus, to hear about the Son that came, to hear that there's another way. He's hope. He's hope in the flesh. Through the power of Jesus, through his name, through his blood, people are healed, set free, and delivered. That's what we want to see. And so I just feel that there's a call on this church now. There's something changing and shifting where all of a sudden people are seeing the need, and they're seeing people that are living in the dark, and they're saying, I don't want my family to live in the dark anymore. I don't want my friends to live in the dark anymore. I want them to know the light that I found. I want them to know life abundant, life to the full. And so what are you doing? You're inviting people into the kingdom. And so we're sitting there, and we're talking about Christmas Eve, and the very first thing we said, we were all set. We had one service all lined up, and we said, my goodness, we can't even right now. We're setting up extra chairs on Sunday mornings just to make a little bit more room. Like pretty soon, I'm just believing, like the longer we stay at one service, like some of you, we're going to have you, if you show up late, you're going to be sitting out in the lobby right by the coffee bar, but that's okay. Like you still got a seat in God's house. That's okay. But show up early and you can get right up here, right up front, all right? So like it's all packed back there, but there's still seats up front, all right? Like don't be shy. Like, yeah, I'm looking at you, RJ. Like, you know, I want your crew up front with me. All you young people, come hang, all right? Come up front with us next Sunday. Like, we don't care who it is, but come to the front. Get up here. Make room for somebody new coming in the back that they can come in and they can hear the gospel. They can worship the Lord. And all of a sudden, what's going to happen? In just a moment, they're going to get healed, set free, and delivered. Woo. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about Christmas Eve. And the very first thing we said, we are all set on one service. And I looked at them and I said, I know nobody wants to do this, but we got to do it. We got to do it. And so we're going to have two services. And then we talked about what are we going to preach on. All this month, I felt strongly this verse, 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20, this wage good warfare, this passage. And I promise you, I didn't just do it because I like to wear camo and I wanted to make a bunch of really cool camo gear, all right? But we do have some really sweet camo gear right now, all right? And it's based on this passage. Wage good warfare. Why? What's Ephesians 6 say? Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, or we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I love this theme because it reminds us we're in a war. Like too often, Christianity, we've come to this place where it's like, oh, we're fine, we're good, we put it into cruise control and we forget that there is a devil, there's an enemy, there's a battle going on. Because we don't see it, right? We don't see it in the natural, we see. We see family, we see friends, we see people, we get so used to what we can see, what we can touch, what we can hear, we forget that there's something else going on in the unseen. In his word, he tells us, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices or the devil's schemes. The devil has schemes. The enemy has plans. Plans not to prosper you, but to harm you. Plans not to prosper your family, but to harm your family. John told us in John 10:10, he says, the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so too many believers, they understand their salvation, but they don't understand what it means to walk in the fullness of all of his promises. And so we settle for letting the devil come and steal, kill, and destroy. And we know, well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved by grace. We at least know that. And so some of us, we just settle for being saved by grace, but living through hell throughout our time on this earth. And he wants to teach you what it means to walk in victory over the enemy, to be reminded that you are seated in heavenly places and that the devil is beneath your feet. This is a warfare church. We teach people to walk in spiritual warfare, to walk in their authority, so that they are reminded that the devil's beneath them, not above them. That's what we're teaching. And so when we made this theme for December, I just felt the Lord saying, teach my people what it means to wage good warfare. And some of you are like, I've been here for a while. I know, I've learned it, I understand it, good. But I think half of our church is new since June. There's so many people coming in every week. You're brand new. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. The Lord brought you here for a reason. He's teaching you how to battle. Not to battle in flesh and blood anymore. Not to battle in the ways of this world. No, to battle in the Spirit and to walk in the authority that he's given you. And so in this season, I feel the darkness trying to creep in and get a foothold again. It tends to happen around Thanksgiving, around Christmas. Because what happens? You were walking in the light, walking in the light. You're walking good. You're walking with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, you get back around family. You get back around some of the old people that you used to hang out with. And what happens? There are spirits attached to them that are trying to drag you back in. Because why? The devil has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. The devil has a plan for you. He has schemes. He has plans. He's got a playbook for how to pull people back in. And so all of a sudden, you get around some of these old family members and you start feeling things that maybe you hadn't felt in a while. And you're like, what is going on? What? I haven't dealt with this in a while. I haven't felt this in a while. You start dealing with self-hate, self-loathing. You start dealing with guilt and condemnation. You start looking in the mirror and you hate who you are all of a sudden when before, a week earlier or a month earlier, you knew who you were. You were Christ. You were clothed in righteousness. You're a son. You're a daughter, adopted and covered by the blood of Jesus. And all of a sudden, you start doubting your identity. Why? There are spirits trying to drag you back into the darkness again. That's what's going on right now. You're in a spiritual battle. And some of you are struggling with, why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling this way? Just start to command your soul. Command your soul by God's word. Start to declare God's word over your life. Even some of these songs that we're singing and we're worshiping today, when you start to sing them out, there is power in the words. How do we know that? Because it tells us in God's word. In Proverbs, it says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. What you speak will guide your life. Your tongue is a rudder of the ship of your life. James tells us that. It's such a small thing. Just like a rudder on a ship. A ship is huge, but a rudder is just so small in comparison to the rest of the ship. But the rudder guides and changes the direction of the ship. Your tongue guides and changes the direction of your life. And so when we come in and worship, we're not just doing something to do something. We're not just checking something off a box. We're stepping in actively into spiritual warfare. So when Pastor Andrew gets up here and sings, and he puts himself out here for the entire church, and he just begins to declare God's glory, and begins to declare, Jesus have it all, Jesus have it all, Jesus have it all, what's he doing? He's leading us into battle. You get that? Did you catch that? He's leading us into battle. The devil's been trying to cut Pastor Andrew off for years. The devil has. He's been trying to cut his tongue out of him spiritually for years, trying to get him to believe in insecurities and lies from the devil. There's been so many lies from the devil, from the pit of hell, spoken over that man's life. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus because you were called to lead people into battle. You were called for it. You were created for it. He gave you a tongue and a voice for a reason. You lead men and women into battle every week. Thank you. Thank you, man of God. Thank you. Jesus have it all. Jesus have it all. Just say it, church. Say, Jesus have it all. Jesus have it all. Declare it. Maybe you didn't sing it, but right now you're declaring it because the power of life and death is in the tongue. And you're saying, devil, you can have none of it because it's all for Jesus. All my time, all my finances, all my life, all my love, all my relationships, all my kids, Jesus have it all. Jesus have it all. You're getting free. You're getting free. You're getting free. Let him have it. You've been holding on. This time of year, you were tempted. You were tempted to go back last week. I feel the Holy Spirit coming on right now in this moment. You were tempted to clench up and say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I want all this. I want this old life. I want to step back into it. I want to see my old friends. I want to be with everybody. I'm the man here. I'm loved here. I'm powerful here. I got an identity here. Don't let them bring you back down. You're here and you're called to pull them up. You're here and you're called to pull them up. Don't let your family, don't let your friends pull you back down into the darkness. No, he called you to be a light and you're here to pull people up out of the darkness and into the light in the name of Jesus Christ. All God's people, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Jesus have it all. Wage good warfare. This is a season of warfare. You didn't know why you were feeling what you've been feeling these last couple days, and you just, all of a sudden you're driving and you just feel this disgustingness come over you. This just, I mean, you're just driving along and you just feel like this self-hate and this self-loathing, and the devil is reminding you of all the things that you hate about yourself and that you don't like, but that's the devil, what he doesn't like about you, what he hates about you. And I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. He formed you in your mother's womb. He created you. All those things that the devil was trying to whisper to you, oh, you hate this, you hate this, you hate this. No. That's a lie from the devil to get you to hate what God created. Don't fall for those lies. We're going to wage warfare. We're going to wage good warfare. If it's good, it's from God. God will teach you how to wage good warfare in this season. Mark 16, verse 14. If you want the notes today, text REV notes, all one word, R-E-V notes to 94,000. You can get the scriptures that we got up here. Mark 16, verse 14. Later, he appeared to the 11. This is after the resurrection. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. It's okay if Jesus rebukes you, right? Be okay with that. He's Jesus. Like, let him rebuke you. Like, sometimes we just come in and we're like, nope, I'm good. I got it all figured out. No. Come in and say, Jesus have it all, and he might point something out to you. He might say, hey, there's a hardness of heart here. You can do better. You can do better. I'm calling you higher. Jesus calls us higher. There's a rebuke here. Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you haven't been baptized, I would strongly suggest, we're going to do a baptism Sunday. Pastor Andrew, is it next Sunday? We're setting up the baptistry. Next Sunday. If you want to get baptized, if you've never been water baptized, what is it? It's a step of obedience. Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, we should do it. Too many times we're like, no, I'm good, I'm fine, I've said it, and like, yes, that's important, but obedience matters. And Jesus is saying right here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you may be saved. Don't miss out on this. There's a step of obedience here. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. This is an area of the church that we've gone away from. Here at Revival, we teach about deliverance. We teach about the casting out of demons. We have a deliverance ministry. We have freedom. There's deliverance. There's the casting out of demons during freedom. There's lots of ways. Sometimes you might come up for a moment of prayer on a Sunday morning, and there might be a moment of deliverance where maybe you didn't even know you had an unclean spirit, a demonic spirit that was whispering lies to you, that had gotten a foothold in your life, that had gotten a stronghold in your life, and it needed to be cast out. Let me tell you something. I tell you this because I know I was the most skeptical of this. I did not believe this. I started to go back through scripture a few years ago, and I started to see, this was the ministry of Jesus Christ. Healing, setting people free, delivering them from the demonic. Deliverance matters. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. We talk about that, praying in the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. There's divine healing. There's miracles. All these things, all what? In the name of Jesus. We still believe he does this. This is the active ministry of Jesus. This is the active ministry of his disciples. And so, when you come here, when you get planted in this house, I'm telling you, the goal is to activate more people into the kingdom, into the ministry of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's 2-3 people excited about that. In the name of Jesus, here we go. In the name of Jesus, To what? To wage good warfare against the devil. The devil doesn't want to see people healed, set free, or delivered. Because he knows you can be saved, but still oppressed demonically. You can still be, the word in the Greek is demonized. You can be saved, but still demonized. Jesus has more for you than that. He wants complete and total freedom for your life. And so some of you, you might be thinking this right now. Like, I know I'm saved, but I don't think I'm demonized, but am I? And you might be kind of wondering, like right now. The devil does not want you to get free. He wants to have a foothold. It says in Ephesians that bitterness and anger will create a foothold for the devil in your life. So what's he do? He's looking for a place to get a foothold in your life. And then later on, it says he will do what? He will build a stronghold. He will build a stronghold. And so there are thoughts that go through your mind that do not come from Jesus Christ. How do you know? How do you know if a thought is from you, from Jesus, or from the devil? God's word. Start to get into God's word so you can discern the truth. So you can discern the truth from the lies. And you can start to realize, oh my goodness, that is a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When you start to get those thoughts of self-hate or self-loathing, you know that's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit loves you and wants to minister to you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to teach you. He wants to guide you in all truth. And the truth lines up with God's word. And so if you start to read God's word, you'll start to realize, okay, these thoughts that I'm having, these thoughts are not from the Holy Spirit. Are these me or are they demonic? Now, one of the strategies, one of the schemes of the devil is to get people to believe that he does not exist, that he's irrelevant to you, that your life, you don't need to worry about him, you don't need to think about him. Why? Because he wants you ignorant of his devices, his schemes, his game plan. If you're ignorant, it's really easy to attack you, right? If you have no clue that he's attacking you, it's really easy for him to get a foothold and build a stronghold in your life. Think about it. In football, if you come into a game and you're ignorant, if you haven't done any prep, if you haven't watched game film on the Iowa Hawkeyes, maybe you should have watched a little more film. I don't know. If you haven't watched film, if you haven't studied how the enemy is going to attack you and what they do, what their devices, what their schemes are, you're completely susceptible. The devil has a foothold and he'll get a stronghold. But as you start to become aware of how he works and how he wants to get a foothold and build a stronghold in your life, then all of a sudden it's really easy to start to walk in the spiritual authority that Jesus Christ has given you. And what do? It says here in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." We walk in the flesh. We have fleshly bodies. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, what are we learning? We're learning good warfare here. Paul's teaching us here in 2 Corinthians, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought," this is where the battle is, it's in the mind, right here, "bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." This is where the war is. It's in your mind, your soul. You are a spirit, you're a soul, and you're a body. You're three parts. Your soul is your mind, it's your emotions, it's your feelings, right? Too often we believe feelings are true. Well, I feel like this. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like doing this. What do we say? We say this all the time around here. Choices lead, feelings follow. How do you make wise choices? By getting in to wisdom, his book, his word. He will teach you wisdom. He desires to give you wisdom. It says in Deuteronomy, God's people will be known by wisdom. He gave them the law not to be a burden, but to set them apart, to set his people apart from the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world will see the blessing his people walk in. Why? Because they live and walk by his statutes, his law, his wisdom. There's wisdom in his word because it works. His word works. As you start to walk in obedience to his word, you'll begin to see it works. If you have tough times in relationships, every relationship just ends poorly. Start to walk in the wisdom of what his word says about relationships, in friendships, in the workplace, in your marriage. Just start to say, Lord, please teach me about what your word says about whatever that area is that you've been struggling in. And he desires to teach you. The Holy Spirit desires to teach you. And so as you open up his word, he's going to teach you all things. So just begin to open it and journal and write down what he's teaching you. And as you're walking with him, you're going to start to find, oh my goodness, his word works. Let's just say that together, church. His word works. His word works. It was a little quiet. His word works. Everything else isn't working in your life. His word will work. Everything else is going wrong. His word will work. His word will do a good work in your life. Walk with him. Talk with him. Learn how to wage good warfare by his word and not battle in the flesh anymore. Too often you're battling in the flesh. You got a problem with your mom, with your dad, with your whoever, and you're fighting it out, and you're battling, and you're going to war, and what are you doing? Sometimes when we go to war in the flesh, we don't even talk to the person that we have an issue with. We go and talk about them, and it makes us feel a little better. What are we doing? Oh, we're just coping. We're just coping. Stop coping and start going to war in the spirit. Start praying for them. Start praying blessings for that person that you are growing bitter and angry towards. Some of you here, I'm going to teach you a new concept. This might be brand new. I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to teach on this today because I've seen it come up, I think, 3 or 4 different times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's called a soul tie. Let me teach you about soul tie. Go to Malachi. I don't think I have this verse in there for you guys today. Malachi 2, verse 15. NLT, if you're wondering what version I'm in for this one. NLT is just a little easier to understand on this one. Malachi 2, verse 15. Here's what Malachi says. And all these writers, when we're reading this, all these writers, it says, were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In fact, when we get up here to preach or to teach, we believe that today, that we are carried along by the Holy Spirit. We just ask the Holy Spirit to carry us along as we deliver God's word. And so I'm just believing right now, the Holy Spirit is going to carry us along. Malachi 2, verse 15. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the great, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Look at that verse 15. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? When you are united in marriage, you become one. There is a holy union. This is a healthy soul tie that the Lord designed. The two become one. Some of you, some of us, I know because I've been here, we have created unhealthy soul ties with people that we are not in biblical covenant with. And so I would just tell you today, it's not just sexual. Sometimes it can be a friendship. Sometimes it can be a family member. But what we do is we create an unhealthy soul tie. And it's actually blocking us from hearing from the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you've created an unhealthy soul tie with a family member. Maybe it's even with your mom or your dad, and you feel like this intense loyalty to them, and you're married, and you put your spouse second or third, and you put them behind your mom and dad. In fact, some of you experienced that this last week at Thanksgiving. You kind of put your spouse on the back burner and said, hey, you're good. I just got to do whatever my mom and dad say. I got to honor them. No. You leave your mother and father to become one with your spouse. You can still honor your mother and father, but do it in a biblical way. What happens? Now you have to change the order. There's an order, a natural order that we follow. And so some of you, this is going to save your marriages. Today, this is going to save your marriages. Why? Because God hates divorce. He doesn't want to see divorce. He wants to see your marriage thrive. Here's how your next marriage, if you're not married right now and you've been through divorce, maybe God is teaching you this so you can step into a holy biblical covenant in the next one. Maybe some of you in here today, you're single and God's just preparing you. Some of you are like, I'm not married. I'm not even dating anybody. This might be for the future. In fact, it is for the future. Hold on to this. He wants to teach you this for a reason today. Some of you, you are married. This is for you. This is for today. You need to understand who comes first, the Lord. You put the Lord first in your life. Listen to him. Become obedient to him. Follow him. Follow his ways. His ways are better than yours. His ways are better than the world's. Then after that, if you're married, the two become one. You're together. So it doesn't go anymore. It doesn't go, oh yeah, I honor the Lord, and then my mom, and then my dad, and then my wife, or then my husband. No. You honor the Lord, and then you honor each other. Some of you, you're struggling with this right now. I honor the Lord, and yeah, we're married, but I got to take care of my kids, and I got to do whatever my kids want. And some of you, you're actually putting your kids ahead of your spouse. You're sacrificing your marriage for your kids, and you think you're doing the right thing. You're doing the wrong thing. You're actually hurting your kids, and you're hurting your kids' future by putting your kids ahead of your spouse. And so some of you, you need to repent for that today. You just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for putting my kids ahead of my wife, for putting my kids ahead of my husband. You've been putting their needs, their wants, their desires, and you think, oh, this will create a healthier family. No. It's actually a family of dysfunction and disunity when you're doing that. If you start to honor the Lord and then honor your spouse first and then your kids, then you take care of your kids, then you shepherd your kids, then you steward your kids, your family unit is going to be better. It's going to be stronger. It's going to be healthier. It's going to be made to last. What are you doing? You're learning how to wage good warfare in the home. Where does the devil want to, where does he want to attack? He wants to attack the home. If God hates divorce, then who loves divorce? The devil. He does. He wants to. If God loves unity, what's the devil loves? Division. Division. He wants to divide. God wants to unite. The devil wants to divide. This is going to save your home in the name of Jesus Christ. Put Jesus first, then your spouse, then your kids, then grandma and grandpa, all right? Some of you, you've been putting grandma and grandpa, oh, they want to do this, they want to do that. We got to do whatever they want. They might leave us a good inheritance someday if we do all this. That's a really stupid reason, all right? Don't do that. Sometimes we make really dumb decisions and we think we're being selfless. They're actually really selfish. Because if you're really honest with yourself, you're like, oh, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to honor them? No. You're doing this because maybe you still have an unhealthy soul tie, a dependence upon them, a need for their approval. And I'm inviting you today, any unhealthy soul tie that the Lord is bringing to your mind, I'm inviting you today to just say, just break it off in the name of Jesus. Break it off in the name of Jesus. Let it be broken. In your relationships, maybe you formed an unhealthy soul tie with somebody sexually before. And I'm telling you, you need to break that off in the name of Jesus Christ. Because some of you, you desire to have a healthy union with your spouse, to be united and one. But for some reason, you keep having these thoughts come back to you of this old, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever it was from years ago. Why? And you're like, I don't want those thoughts to come hit me anymore. The devil is a legalist, and he has a legal right to your mind through an unhealthy soul tie. And so what do you want to do? You stepped out in sin. What do? You repent and confess. Lord, I am sorry for that unhealthy soul tie I formed outside of the covenant of marriage. Lord, I want to break that off in your name, Jesus Christ, and I want a healthy soul tie to be formed and united with my spouse. If this is you today, just write this down. Hold on to this. I'm telling you, I've seen this in the church recently. It's come up so many different times. And as people have started, once again, people are like, I have to say that out loud? Yeah, because the devil can't hear your thoughts. You need to say it and declare it out loud, because then what's that do? It breaks off the legal right that the devil has to your mind. What are you doing? You're tearing down a stronghold. You're tearing down a stronghold that the devil built up a long time ago, that he has a legal right to live in your mind, in your body, and you're evicting him in the name of Jesus Christ, and you're saying, devil, get out. Devil, I'm done with you. I'm done. How do you know this? I know it because I've lived it. I've lived all this. I've had to break off unhealthy soul ties with people that I was united with sexually in a way that was not honoring to the Lord. I've had to break off unhealthy soul ties with friendships who I was beginning to value over the Lord's voice in my life. I've had to break off unhealthy soul ties with family members that I was putting ahead of my own wife and my own kids, and I was sacrificing our family for their approval. Why? Because I was a people pleaser, not a God pleaser. In the name of Jesus, you're going to be God pleasers and no longer people pleasers. We don't live for the approval of men. We live for his approval in the name of Jesus Christ. So we just break it off in the name of Jesus today. We're tearing down strongholds. That's what we're doing. You're learning to wage good warfare. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. Today's a great day. It's beautiful. I just see men and women stepping into everything that God called you and created you to be. As we're sitting there talking about Christmas, what it means to wage good warfare, I was drawn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 1. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. And then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. He has little time, church, but he's come down. When the dragon realized that he'd been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times and a half a time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. The devil knows there's the power of life and death is in the tongue. He speaks too. Some of you have felt like you've been drowning in a flood of Satan's words. And we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ today. Church, would you stand up as we get ready to worship today? I'm telling you, you may have come in and you may have just sat in silence in the beginning. And you may have held back. But if you begin to declare his goodness and his mercies in worship, you're going to find yourself set free today. The devil's trying to drown you with his words, but we're going to declare God's words over our life. Verse 16, the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out of the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children. I told you we're in a battle. There's a war. The devil's coming for you, but the Lamb already came. Thank you, Jesus. All who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. We're going to walk in the power of the blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony. Keep declaring his goodness over your life. Keep declaring your testimony. Keep telling people how good he's been. Even when you don't feel it, keep declaring it. I know he saved me. I know he redeemed me. I know he brought me up out of the pit. Declare it on the hard days, in the dark days, when the devil's words are washing over you. Begin to declare God's word, and he'll raise you up for such a time as this. Let's praise him. Let's praise him, church. Thank you, Jesus.